You can have everything you want in the whole world, you could be still confused and suffering. Because anything, everything you think you have might not be really helping you that much, sort of speaking. So what's missing here? Joyful. Joyfulness. Precious, recognizing preciousness within oneself. Within oneself. Let's say if you don't recognize you're precious and you're special, who you think recognize you preciousness or some special? To start with, you don't feel that way. This question you should ask yourself rather than somebody ask you. But the people don't ask this question. But people should ask himself, herself. So joy and meditation, interdependent. And you and I, interdependent. Let's say I'm not here, no Dharma talk. And you're not there, no Dharma talk. And two makes something happening. So they're depend on each other. As I talk, you meditate. Use all the postures. Over the year, many of you took the class. You should know how to sit using the postures. If you don't know, you need to learn. And if you don't know, take somebody sitting really good around you. Take that as your example. Take that as a model, like example. Sit upright, straight, and meditate. The teaching you have received meditatively, but also teaching you have received while you're practicing. As I say the words, if the word has anything to do with you and the meaning, then you take that into considerate into your practice. Meditation brings exuberant joy and causes delight. Exuberant joy brings you joy, joyfulness, and also meditation causes self-center. See, meditation brings you self-center, means bring you in the center of you yourself. Guess what? You feel very stable. What are we talking about here? Emotionally, physically, psychologically, a relationship with just almost anything relationship. Lack of self-center, lack of togetherness, lack of shortage of togetherness, everything sort of fall apart and not functioning. Although some are, they are functioning fine, but you don't feel they are functioning. So it's just equally problem. They are functioning as good as can be, but you don't see it that way. Therefore, it is a problem for you. Some, there is a major problem, not functioning at all. But guess what? You don't see it that way. You think it is a wonderful functioning. It's a problem. Still is a problem. So either way, too little is a problem, too much is a problem. There are some seats in front. There are some seats in the middle front row. So I guess either way there's a problem. Perhaps either way we have to recognize it. That's the problem. How are we going to recognize? We're not going to recognize anything unless we bring our all intentions in the center, in the center of yourself. And the center of yourself is also center of your universal, or universal. See, we're looking for universal up there, somewhere. You don't realize universal. Your universal is in, within yourself. Your happiness is within yourself, but you're looking for happiness by shopping. Using credit card. Your happiness is hoping your happiness, you will run into your happiness by searching nonstop. Guess what? Everybody searches from since the beginning of this time. One problem, haven't found yet. Searching since beginningless time, not found yet. So is that proves maybe you can't find happiness by searching externally. Perhaps follow the teachings of the Buddha, follow internally. Follow internally. Find your happiness within yourself. So that means internally, and what internally talking about is not necessarily inside your body, more like inside your heart, or maybe inside your mind. So this is what we're talking about. And you can't search anything unless you're bring your all attention in one place. So, how you do? Meditation will do. So here is saying, meditation brings exuberant joy, causes a delight. See, when we able to bring our old thoughts in one place, we become more stable emotionally, physically, psychologically. And when we are more stable, what we experience is some degree of joy, joyfulness, then we also delighted. Word I use, delight. This is simplest that there is so much joy being generated in the mind of practitioner that it is boundless. Just like mind has no boundary, your joyfulness has no boundary. But have you ever checked it? Do you know what I'm talking about? If you don't know, that's your homework. If you know what I'm talking about, walk side by side. Boundless. That it is boundless. That meditator is overflowing with joy. Every day, you experiencing few minutes joyfulness. And rest of the day, no matter how the word comes to me is hectic or confusing, still you're gonna be okay. The problem is you don't have any joy joyfulness in your mind and heart, but you have the other ones too much. That's the problem. You know what I'm talking about. The opposite of joyfulness is too much. And joyfulness is not too much, not anything in your mind and heart. That's the problem. That's where it causes low self-esteem, inferior means kind of feel like not match with anybody. So, also, the word delight is intended to imply that the practitioner is not just happy, but happy in all situations and activities. This is beautiful. Just because I wrote it. So if I don't say good words about what I wrote, nobody got to say it. That's joking. But anyway, it says happy in all situation activities. When we are self-centered, all our thoughts in one place, and we have some degree of joyfulness and meditation, because of the meditation, then in all situation and activities is also part of the package. Beautiful. All situation. You can have all kinds of situation each day. But it's a part of the package of joyfulness and meditation practice. So that activity is available, but the problem is unenlightened beings have a little difficult to connect with that. Then it says that he delights in all things and all at all time, because his activities constantly, spontaneously benefits limitless sentient beings. And here, see, some enlightened beings, anything they do, anything they say, anything they think, is against their own well-being. Whereas some practitioners may be able to do, anything you say, anything you think, it's very beneficial for everybody. That's the difference is right here. And I want you to be one of them, that anything, everything, even you breathe, exhale, inhale, it's a healing and kindness for others. If you could do that, then you become nothing but the source of happiness, a source of healing, and a source of altruistic bodhicitta. Without discrimination or exceptions. Some practitioners have certain practitioners, they like all this practice. Yet, they make a lot of discrimination. And they make a lot of exceptions. I can do this, I like this, but I cannot do that and this. There's a lot of discrimination. And there's a lot of discrimination, and there's a lot of, we make exceptions, and that makes our practice become limited, handicapped. It's not you don't have practice, but your practice is limited. In other words, you make them smaller scale by yourself. So we have to practice without discrimination and without exceptions. Recognize all living beings are as important as you, as a singular. You're very important, who say? Because you say. Who said that you're important? Because you say you're important. So, based on that, I am telling you, everyone is as important as you. Of course, you recognize you're important person because you have ego, you have needs, you have wishes, and you have dreams, and you have a bunch of confusion. But despite everything you have, you can still say, I'm important. The world will not function without you. The everything going to be, word I use is clapped or clap, like building clubs. The world going to be clapped if you're gone. Because you're that important. Who said that? You said that. But I'm telling you, it could be only illusion. Furthermore, the world may never notice you exist. The world may never notice you're gone either. So, don't be too sure that you're that important. Except, if you practice joyfulness and delight and benefiting your body, speech, mind, all activities, it's benefiting all beings. Well, you become important, whether you believe or not. You become source of happiness, as I said earlier. Obviously, upon reflecting on the choice of these two specific words, we can see that these particular two benefits of meditation practice are for those highly realized beings, great bodhisattvas. We are talking about great sages who have reached a state of realization so vast that they truly have limitless and unconditional love for all beings, without exception. Here some people feel, I love others, but when it comes to love myself, I don't really love much. I can buy things for other people, but when I have to buy for myself, I don't like to buy anything for myself. Or I don't want to treat myself nice. I don't like myself much as I can do things for others. I can do things others. I have a compassion and love for others. But how I can love myself? How I can compassion towards myself? This is a dilemma. This is a question comes commonly in the practice. So my initial answer is, if you love all sentient beings, you love yourself also because you are part of the sentient beings. Just you have to say, I love all beings. That means you also love yourself. You want to help all sentient beings, you include yourself, unless you are not sentient beings. You're just Mexican beings. I'm just joking. Red bean is good. mucho deliciosa. Es de sopa, es de mucho deliciosa. Oh, funny. So here they have developed their altruistic mind to such a high degree that the benefit for all beings is boundless. It overflows and reaches out to all in needs. The great bodhisattva find their delight in all situations and activities because their love is like the sun. The example of the sun or the moon in the night, the sun in the day, it's the love, altruistic compassion from enlightened beings, reach out all living beings. No matter how bad you are, equally love reaches. There is no hate, there is no discriminating. There is some of you, I want to help, but the others I don't want to help, not like that at all. It's like sun for whole planet. It's a moon like for whole planet. So everybody should benefit unless you manage to hide out from the sun because your skin you worry, or moon because maybe you know somebody might grab you. Moonlight. Things grow and rejuvenate the light of the moon. Things grow and rejuvenate the light of the sun. And perhaps life is not possible without heat or warm, water and earth. I mean all the elements together. So the heat part is maybe fire element, part of the fire. But the water elements, air elements, and earth elements, together, all these elements, everything possible. You know, in your lifetime, you met quite a bit number of people, but they all look different. The closest, the twins, they come sometimes. If you look closely, if you spend a little time, you'll find some differences. So in other words, no one is the same manufactured by the company, like metals or something. Piece of paper or sheet of paper, they all look same. Can't tell them. But the human, no matter how many you met, they all look different. And they say their map is different, and the size of the world is different. Happiness is different. Pain and sorrow is also different. And also, length of life is different. And how they view and wisdom, how they gain their knowledge is different. Just everything is different. I'll go for that. It's not always the same. Even though the teachers might say, all of you graduate today. So, you know, some ways we are graduating in the same day with the same degree. But if you really want to know the knowledge, and everybody is different. Absolutely, there is differences. Regardless of the piece of paper says you are all same level. So here, it is not without ordinary beings do not experience some degree of love at different moments in their lives. So, love is exercised all living beings, including animals, everybody. But it's based on experiences which is based on emotions and heart, connect with the heart. So there is a conditional because you love them because you feel like to love. You feel. Your feeling you can't control except you love them. So it is called conditional love, especially kind of love that towards your own children and towards your own near and dear ones, or whatever that means. And sometimes the love is only the exercise, unenlightened means exercise between their partners and husband, wife, or boyfriend, girlfriend. They think that is the ultimate love. What you don't realize is that's not ultimate love at all. That is conditional love. Because when person dumb you, and then you have to switch somebody else. No, I don't know who I should love the most. Boom. Who didn't expect, but it is, you have to deal. It is a phenomenon that you have to deal with them. The more you investigate it, not invest it, more you invest it, hard to undo. Which means if you're more invested than hard to do, means that you put too much in it, hard to let it go, and hard to undo, because there is nothing you can undo because it was went too far. That's there. And I'm sure some of you have those experiences. But on the contrary, if you invest minimum, then when things change, you can undo very easily because you didn't invest much. In other words, you didn't hope much. You didn't expect much. One of the common mistake relationship is we expect more than action between each other. We expect too much each other. We're talking about the human relationship. And then we didn't put into action much. It means we didn't do much, but we expectation, we pile after pile towards each other. As soon as expectation is not met or not fulfilled, the problem begins. Perhaps the problem begins as early as soon as you say, I do, I do. The word, I was witness with the marriage a few times, so I know a few words. I do, I do. Then at the same time, you have no idea what you do. But you have to say, I do, I do. But I'm not saying marriage is a negative. I'm not saying that. I think two people love each other, care about each other, support each other, let her grow, let him grow, maximum their wisdom, support each other. You want to be Hinduism, let him do the Hinduism, and he want to be Christianity, let be Buddhist, Muslim, I don't know what, Jainism, Confucianism, you support maximum whatever he like to do, let him do whatever he like to do, support each other. Don't say what you're doing is bad, what I'm doing is good. Because if one is a good forever, one is a bad forever, whole planet will be followed the good one. I'm not saying that's good or bad, but everybody wants good one, right? So everybody followed that one good one. But it seems like one good one is hard to find. So everybody, what they follow is legitimate for her or for him. That's all he or she founded, supported. You are partners, husband, wife. You let grow each other, support each other, love each other, and help each other to grow his way or her way. Not that husband, wife, now you do all this for me because you are mine. Not like that. I think that civilization, that situation, it's gone maybe 1,000 years ago. So you don't try to do something 1,000-year-old custom, try to apply in a modern civilized. Well, civilized, it's a lot of things. Maybe we did, maybe we didn't. We don't know. Civilized, and many things we civilized, but many things we not so civilized also. Civilized is high-tech scientists discovery, things human brain can pick it out. It came long way, and I will say it's improved a lot. Now, ultimately, those improvements are good or bad, the question cannot answer. But in many ways, we lot of spoiled and making it more and more, the world is vulnerable, our own life. And global level, we become more and more powerful as a global, as a country to country. We become more and more powerful, more and more destructive. And in other words, more dangerous. We can destroy the other, or they can destroy us. It's more and more powerful we grow. Individual life, the quality of the life. Maybe some degrees we have become more and more vulnerable. The word I use, is that word vulnerable? Vulnerable means more fragile. We can't handle little cold. We can't handle little heat. I mean, what are we talking about? Bugs under the ground? We cannot handle a lot of things. We're so spoiled. Food-wise, we have so much of food. We are attached to them, and we are depend on 1,000 years ago. Not even half of that kind of food that we have on the menu don't have. It was okay to survive. Now we have a double, triple choices. And a greed. I'm not talking about constitution or the politics. Politics is nothing other than greed. But I'm not talking about that here. I'm talking about greed in a sense, wanting more. And a civilization is wanting more and more and more, and we develop more and more things. Wanting more and more brings you more stress. Wanting more and more brings more work. Wanting more and more, we create more and more things. There's a lot of side effect we create. Let's talk about the supermarket or the farmers market, or maybe we take shopping centers or somewhere. So the clothes we wear might have a lot of chemicals that we wear, touch with our body. The food we eat, majority food has some chemicals that is ultimately damaging our brain and damaging our memory, damaging our health issue. But we don't realize that we keep buying. And we want more. consequences, the result is we become more unreal. Is the word synthetic or synthetic? Synthetic, kind of like a human by birth, but become synthetic, like their body and their mind. So confused, our body has a lot of chemical. So we get lots of medicine we need to take. The more we take the medicine, they are also majority made out of some type of chemical. Many of these chemicals you discovered the years later, that was the wrong one. By the way, many of 75%, they don't even know it has side effect. The side effect can go up to 50 years to 40 years to 30 years to 20 years to 10 years all lay out. But we can't accuse that because it's time is different. We couldn't figure out what was wrong. But by the time, what's wrong with you, it was kind of too late. It would be kind of too late. So synthetic as a human, but the functionality is like a synthetic. And then the mind is so confused, it's very dangerous. The quality of life is very, very difficult question to ask. So keep that in mind. Now, why I'm talking about that? I'm talking about that because of conditions that we are approaching, how we are moving 21st century, how the society is moving direction, what direction we moving. There are some good, there are a lot of bad also. And many things, unenlightened means out of control. Actually, life is out of control in many ways. But if you think you are control yourself, you are very blessed. You are very lucky. Perhaps you must be meditating. You must be self-centered. All your thoughts in one place and meditate. That way, everything, anything you do, you are not producing side effect for anybody. Side effect means it's not harmful for anybody, including yourself. Including yourself. Who can do that? How we can do that? The teachings of the Lord Buddha. Teachings of the Dharma. You can only do it. Buddha Dharma is not against any religion, because any religion you think that works for you, helps for you, they're not asking you give up. Buddha Dharma says the wisdom you collect on the way until you reach the last journey. Keep collecting the wisdom. So any wisdom you can benefit, keep collecting. Time flies. But it is important to remember that these love to relative and limited, conditional love. But it is important to remember that this love, we ordinary beings do have an intellectual or conceptual understanding of unconditional love. It's true that Dharma practitioner heard unconditional love. And from time to time, you do little practice on that. But unconditional love, how manifest actually in your life, is a different story. We even come closer to experiencing some sort of unconditional love at a time, such as a mother's love for her children. Generally, that's a good example if it's a good mother. He's a good mother. If it's a bad mother, I don't know where we put that. But anyway, but this love is like a candle in a dark room. It helps us to see, but only barely. A more advanced practitioner of meditation may begin to expand her limited self-referential love to a less relative, more unconditional love. Even so, that love only shines out like a light bulb that helps us to see the immediately areas in which we currently functioning. I believe what the scientists discovered, even though sounds like I know some kind of science, but I don't know anything. The scientists were discovered is the growth of living beings, especially we're talking about humans being experiment. Humans, growth of the human psychological strength and physiological well-being has a lot to do with the child, how they receive the nurture from mother and father when they're grown up. So many of living beings, many of the enlightened beings, psychological dysfunctioning, physiological also dysfunctioning, a lot of has to do with how they upbringing or upgrowing or growing when they're a child and a childhood time. And many of people today, 21st century, have a little difficult to love their children more natural way. They have difficult to love. They love children, but they have a quality of love is not so good. And because the quality of love is not too good, when the children grow up, they have a difficulty to love anybody. And why they can't love anybody? Because something they didn't get from their parents, they can't really share either because they didn't get it. As from the scientist's point of view, maybe it's called critical time. Something miss. Critical time. But from the dharmic point of view, the child received fully love from parents for the child. That child seems like a inner strength or mentally, psychologically, are more healthier and more functionality. And that person, since he or she received the love from parents fully, he or she is capable to show love and kindness to their children. The cycle of love and quality of living beings has something to do with love, unconditional love, and caring and loving. It is beyond how you grow up your physical body. It is beyond just the ordinary confused mind. It's more than that. So your mental happiness and mental comfortable with the society, comfortable with your children, comfortable with something has to do with how you received in a lifetime, your lifetime from childhood. If some reason you think that makes sense, then you have to show the best you can show to your kids, so that their kids will show best to their. So it will be a new cycle, the love and affection. On the contrary, 21st century, that quality is degenerating. That was the part of the reason I brought. 21st century, high tech, technological, and every year there's many new things come out. Pretty soon, the shoes and the shirt and pants we don't have to wear, they will run and chase you and they put you on yourself. You don't have to touch it. Perhaps the cars will drive and you just read book. But the one problem, no matter how much technological is improving, the quality of living beings, their love and affection, and their happiness, and their satisfaction in the life, is degenerating, in some degree degenerating. If you see the average people, families, they have one of those machines, everybody's hand, they want to spend more time with that than talking to each other. If it's not necessary, they will not talk. But if when they talk, they didn't talk to each other such a long time. When they talk to each other, it become some gap and distance each other. Because you are intimately spending time with your toys. Now, this is just the beginning. There is more to come. More excitement coming. So therefore, the relationship with the family or spending time, what they call spending time, other words they call quality time, it's going to be punished. It's going to be diminished. And then every single living being, so they manage to do this high-tech thing, isolated. I'm not sure that word fit there. Isolated means you put yourself and separated from the others. So you begin to double, triple experience your loneliness. Not that I'm saying you experience loneliness, but you are providing, you are organizing that way. So you will experience more loneliness. And for the humans, social living beings, need a social. But when you isolated and more in loneliness, you show each other more strange. more strange. In fact, your brother, sister is a very strange person when you spend a couple hours even after a few years later. And then your family become strange, then who you think not so strange? Everybody's strange if you have to spend time. Distance is a blessing because you're not so close. But if you get too close, you feel like strange. That shows that you manage to isolate yourself long enough. And that self is also degenerating the generation, culture. The animal need a love, humans need a love. And love means kind of love, not the love boyfriend, girlfriend. That need too, but mainly love, I'm talking about the mother's love, father's love, grandma, grandfather's love to the children. And then they can give the same kind of love to their children. It's very important. But we're going to be invaded with high tech. And high tech is a hijack. They are hijacking all everybody's mind. Thank you very much. Let's meditate. It's not complete finish, but that's okay. And we meditate a little bit. See, you can remember anything you can practice today. So we talk about bring all attention and center and self-center in yourself, inner insight. Bring. And I say, you discovered your happiness with and within yourself, not externally. And then I say, unconditional love without exception, rather than conditional love, the loves that you are near and dear ones. But all included, no exception. An analysis is sunlight in the daytime, moonlight in the nighttime. And that is the idea of your love. Reach out. All living beings, including yourself, you're not excluded because you're part of all living beings.